Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. And today we have a guest from Brazil whose name is Vitor Bruno. He is an English teacher in Brazil, has a very varied background, so I will let him tell you more about where he's been and what he's doing now. And what we're going to talk about today is the differences in selling between Brazil or places like that and the United States. And specifically, we're going to focus on social tools. Vitor, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mary Lou. Nice to talk to you too.
So tell us mm-hmm. about your path, your background, and how you got into sales.
Well, as you said, my name is Vitor Bruno. I came to Florianópolis metropolitan area, to a city called Palhoça, where I came to sell a software that works with water and wastewater piping. But by the time, the economic view in Brazil wasn't so good. And after 6 months trying to sell or to make client lists and adding to the pipeline, I end up getting let out of the company that I came to work. Mm-hmm. But I started to teach English. That is what I'm making money, actually.
Okay, so English as a second language to Brazilians or various people. Okay.
And also English for a special purpose.
Ah, okay. Very good. So we met, you and I, on LinkedIn, which is a social media platform. What is your experience on using social tools that you can share with the audience? And what is working for you now in terms of getting new business?
Mm-hmm. Well, most of all, I started to search for new customers or to understand the customers I already have by looking to them profiles. This way, I try to make a network, a web of people that you can be and can have the same interest. So it helps me like to understand better the audience and what they need or they don't.
Okay, so in the equivalent here would be in the book, my new book, it's looking at the prospect personas and getting an understanding of who's going to be sitting across the table from you, whether it's virtual or not, and what their characteristics are and how to craft your sales conversation in order to speak with them in a way that gets them sort of leaning in and wanting to have a conversation with you. So you went through that process by looking at your files, finding out who these people are that bubbled up to the top of wanting to have a conversation. And then what did you do when you had these characteristics? What was your next step?
I started to take notes because I don't want to forget. My memory is very fuzzy sometimes. And I try to understand and to build like a character, not to be lying to the prospect, but to find the things that he takes his guard off. Part of my teaching skills, I use what people want to know. Mm-hmm. What they wanted to learn and what they needed to learn as a job or something like that. So these two things work as a motor, to make people continue studying and studying with more energy and more enthusiasm.
Oh, okay. So you actually went and worked through what we call a pain matrix, which is taking all of the criteria or the aspects of that personality, that persona, and understanding what drives them, also overlaying that with what you think they needed in order to be successful. Is that correct?
Not exactly. I don't use pain to sell. I use mostly what gives pleasure instead.
Okay.
For example, I have a student who loves a lot rock and roll. So part of the course is to talk about rock and roll bands, to read the lyrics, and he's an oil and gas engineer in the state company. So I teach him rock and roll, and then vocabulary to learn better how to have, I don't know if it's auditions, it's when somebody from the government starts to read or to see, check if he's everything correct in the platform.
Okay, so you actually use pleasure as a trigger in order to be able to engage your students so that they would learn the material, and that's how you got them also interested in the service that you offered. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. So when you have these lists of people and you've worked through the desires that they have, how do you go about finding students or finding new people who could use your products and services?
I started to look on my network if I know someone or someone alike this person. Somebody, for example, is a director of a big company. Who I know that's a director is a big company to make a fake selling, not a really selling. It's like a pre-selling to know what people, what this director would look for, what he wouldn't like, to make like a fake selling, but also to, once I find this, the person in the company I want to sell, I start to offer, to look at him as an ambassador. Like he will help me to sell inside the company. Like today I want to search Search Foundation. It's a startup foundation here in Florianópolis. And I said, okay, my friend, I know you like this and that, and I need your help to introduce. So you're going to help me like to find the things that all the startups need in common. So you can help me sell a better product because it's going to be good for you as well. And she said, okay, let's go for it.
Oh, that's great. So for a teaching point here for those listening, what Vitor just talked about was what we really advocate is when you find someone in a company, you're looking for a champion, you're looking for a referral source to refer you other business, and you're building your network at the same time. But as Vitor pointed out, you're adding value. When you are asking for a referral, you always add value to that person as to the why that they should refer you business. So that's great. So you go in, you get referrals, and then from there, does your process involve meeting them face to face, or do you have a way to converse with them over the telephone? How do you take it from there?
Most of times I look to talk face to face. I'm not very fan of using phone to sell. I think phone selling, mostly from my point of view, is a little bit too cold. And here in Brazil, people like to see people in the eye, to be sure that if people want, they are real. It's not a fake proposition. It's something more realistic.
Right. So that's a very different strategy than what we deploy here in the States, because a lot of times we use email first because it's easier. But if we really want to engage someone in conversation and reduce what I call the lag in the pipeline, we utilize the telephone for that. It's very uncommon here. At least I'm trying to think of any clients that I have that go face-to-face because of logistics, because a lot of times we represent clients all over the country, and it's very difficult for us to travel like that. It's not that it doesn't happen. But until they're a client, we typically don't, unless they're a top 20 type of client, a core account where we're, you know, it's an account that has a large revenue potential for us and a longer lifetime value, we don't necessarily do face-to-face here. So that's a big difference from Brazil.
Maybe mostly because my clients are not nationwide, for example, and living here in Florianópolis, and not counting to sell to São Paulo, that's some Brazilian's biggest city, to Rio, for example. I try to focus first on my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Then to find like, okay, I'm strong in my neighborhood. Now let's talk around the surrounding cities, my friends in other cities, like to know what are they paying, and growing, how can I say, organically.
Right.
Instead of rushing, like, oh no, I need you to be the biggest all the country around. I think it's not necessary to rush this much. Mm-hmm. Much maybe it's my point of view, it's not really a Brazilian point of view.
Right, and you're building relationships. This is sounding very similar to the way our real estate organizations conduct business here in the States. It's a very neighborhood type of sale. It's referral-based. There's a lot of face-to-face meetings because buyers and sellers typically meet with the agent. There is some business that's transacted over the phone. But primarily, it's a face-to-face transaction. So that is similar to what you're doing. And they rely on systems to help them talk to people who are ready to go. And that's what the conversation and the work that I do is, can we put some of this into a system in order to be able to help you leverage the technology out there, but still have those meaningful conversations. So my question to you, Vitor, is have you developed a system for this type of contact using social media, or are you set up still where you're, you know, manually working through who you're going to contact, when you're going to contact them, and how you're going to be meeting with them? Do you have a system around that now?
To be honest, not really. I use a calendar, like I put all the meetings I have, try to make like you once every 15 days, like to talk to the person, to know they do not forget me. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I try to be in contact. And it's not a really system. What I try to make is to post some on Facebook, to make a small noise, a small buzz, as you say, on the market, to go talk to some friends or to leave some marks. And this mark leaving, I mean like to make it part of several groups. I myself am become a hub of businessmen solutions, and I being part of if I don't know if I can say this on record, but as there we can edit this. I'm part of Impact Hub here in Florianópolis. I'm part of another co-working spaces that I can help people who work there. And this way they become my clients. And once I start to offer like, oh, I know a guy who knows someone that can help you. And therefore I'm becoming a hub myself.
Yeah.
And this, I can help you to close some links. I think this helps my nature that I like to contact people, to talk with other people, and to be part of several events at the same time.
Right. So for those listening, though, what you're saying is, and what I'm hearing is, that even though you don't have technology supporting you, perhaps, you mentioned your calendar, there is a process, you have a system in place. It may not seem like a system, but you're consistently doing the things that you need to do. And it's almost a habitual now for you, which is great. That's what we're trying to get to. Excuse me, when we're working on a sales system, is to overlay the components of the system. In your case, there's a lot of referral, there's a lot of face-to-face, there's a lot of building relationships, but it's done in a way that's consistent and habitual so that you can forecast your sales better.
Mm-hmm. And when you say like to contact with people, most of times I try to intend it to be a real friend. I don't want to be that pushy salesperson that I'm offering something that the client doesn't need. Mm-hmm. As the course works, what people want and what people like, this makes a lot of less effort. So people, do you have time? Yes, we have time. So let's go for the course. Oh no, I don't have time. I don't have the money. Fair enough. There is my card here. Let's continue talking, and we continue later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is very authentic. It's very endearing. But you're building your network of people who can refer business to you. And because you were able to say, no, that's fine. I respect that it's not a good time for you, but maybe someday it will be. And so you keep in contact with them. You have them in your sequence. You have them in your tickler, your reminder files to get back to them.
Exactly.
That's great. So if you had some advice, Vitor, of someone who's just getting started in sales and really wants to bolt on a process or something that they could do consistently, what would you recommend? Where would they start? What was the first thing that you started doing when you started growing your business that you think would be helpful for other people?
I think most of all, to understand what the customer needs, what do they need, instead of offering like a lot of things and people are not interested. Mm-hmm. People receive a lot of noise around the day. If you check what they want, and if you don't want what I'm offering, maybe you know someone that can want. In this way, you can grow a network. I think networking nowadays is growing stronger instead of you being alone to sell. You can ask referrals, and this will help you a lot.
You know, I have a process that I teach that I actually borrowed from the real estate folks, and it's called First and 10. And what I do is every morning before I start my business day, I reach out to 10 people in my network and I offer assistance. If there's anything that they need, that a question answered, or if I can be of any help to them, please let me know. And those people who write back to me and ask me a question, sometimes they'll say, you know, I'm so glad that you wrote to me. I was just thinking, I have a client who needs some help here. Would you mind if I put them in contact with you? So you never know when you're reaching out to help people what you'll get in return. So I recommend that as a daily habit, that you reach out to your network, offer assistance, guidance, offer to be able to answer any questions, whatever it is that they need, and with nothing in return to ask for, and your network will grow like you would not believe.
Yeah, I like this idea. Marilo, do you have this written on your blog? I'm quite sure I didn't read this before.
I actually do have a, what did I do? I'm thinking. I did a webinar, or not a webinar. I did a, like, over the shoulder. So what is that called? A screencast. I recorded a video of me going into LinkedIn and actually showing people how to do that. So I'll be sure to put it on the page that we use for what I call show notes, which is, you know, how people can get a hold of you. And I'll make sure that I put that First and 10 process so that people can start using that. It's a very rewarding process because it's all about giving back. It's all about just give. And those people who respond to you are going to be your champions, are going to be your ambassadors, and you're going to have a network of people that refer business to you and you refer business to them. I mean, it's the perfect balance of being able to sell through referrals.
Exactly. I think it would be interesting. And also, as I said, you can understand what the market needs.
Right.
And you can give you exactly what they are asking for.
Exactly. So the lessons that we learned today are primarily the ones that are so important, and that is really understanding who your prospect is, working through, if you have the book Predictable Prospecting in chapter 3, it's all about how to generate and how to build a really good prospect persona for salespeople. Some of you have prospect personas, but they're built by marketing, which is good. It's a good baseline. But because the call to action for marketing is to get a marketing qualified lead, and the call to action for us in sales is to actually get a first meeting, those two profiles are very different. So make sure you work through the examples. And I actually have a worksheet that goes along with that chapter. I'll post where that is as well, that you can work on getting that prospect persona. And then doing this First and 10 using social media or whatever vehicle, where your people are. That's another thing that Vitor told us is actually be where the people are. And it could be social, it could be face-to-face, it could be having in networking groups, but make sure you understand where those places are and do your best to be there.
I'd like you to add, sorry, to, mm-hmm. could you?
That's okay.
To be remembered. For example, I am always wearing a red shirt. Here in Santa Catarina, is not popular because red color used to be the another, how can I say, political party that is not good anymore.
Okay.
But I wear red because a very few people wear red here. So I'm not set a little bit far. And also, people joke that I'm the little red point in the city because I'm everywhere, like staying around. And of course, as a joke, I can use it is to tell myself, "Oh, you're gonna see a guy in red. That's me. Mm-hmm. You are Vitor from the Business Association. Yes, that's me in red." This makes people remember me.
Yes.
As a joke or not, but people are going to remember, "Oh, I need English. Oh, there's that guy in red. I don't know him, mm-hmm. but he's always there."
That's great advice, to be remembered. Just be who you are and add a little spice to that. And I think that's great advice. So how do we get a hold of you to have more discussion around this topic?
Well, people can send me an email to chief@milestoneenglishcourse.com. Can send me messages through Facebook as well. You can find me with Milestone English Course there on Facebook. But also, if people, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's very popular there in America, but people here in Brazil use a lot of WhatsApp to talk. They have a lot of groups as well. Mm-hmm. So you can send me a message to the number +55, that's the Brazilian area code. 48 is the Santa Catarina area code. 34. Mm-hmm. 1615. That's my mobile, and I also reply WhatsApp.
Okay, so what I'll do is put all this contact information in the show notes so that mm-hmm. people can select which one is relevant for them or easiest for them to remember or click through to. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for your time. I very much appreciate all the way from Brazil. This is great.
Thank you, Mary Lou. I appreciate you as well. I hope we can have this again sometime.
Oh, of course, definitely. Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
Thank you.